And in this giving season, how about giving a gift to yourself? I know the first rule of Christmas shopping is don't do that. But when it comes to Social Security, you've got to get what's yours. That's the title of a book by PBS NewsHour business and economics correspondent Paul Solomon, Boston University economics professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, and retirement expert Philip Moeller about how and when you should tap into your Social Security benefits. We spoke with Solomon and Kotlikoff in March of this year. It was one of our most popular conversations of 2015. And we asked them about the health of the Social Security system, which is forecast to be able to pay full benefits through 2034. And about two of the things that are often blamed for draining Social Security: paid disability benefits, which about 11 million people are drawing on, and questions of fraud.
Yes, disability has become, paid through the Social Security system, the replacement for welfare in this country, actually. Fraud, everybody always tries to say fraud, fraud, fraud. There's fraud at the banks, fraud here. That is not the big problem. The big problem is you can't find jobs. Some of the jobs are really hard. Then lots of sort of liminal cases, ambiguous cases. Is a back problem really a problem? People surely work in jobs and so forth. Yes, it's a part of the problem. But when you talk to as many people as we have, and as I've read writing questions to Larry about their problems and how disability is the difference between life and death for these people, and people I know personally, in fact, you take a somewhat different view of whether or not disability is being scammed.
So when as I'm reading this book, I'm wondering to myself, and I'm in my 30s, is any of this going to apply to me at all?
The system is 33% underfinanced, according to the trustees report that came out last July. So in comparison, Detroit's pensions, when they were discovered to be underfunded, were underfunded to the tune of 20%. So I think Social Security is broke. The trustees believe that. And we have to fix the system for younger people. I don't believe that people that are 55 or older are going to see any changes to the system because it's just too politically difficult to make those changes.
But he's in his 30s.
Yes.
I feel that we're going to make all kinds of changes, as we did in 1983. This is where we get to be like the Bickersons, the old 1940s radio.
Yes, you both have very different ideas about this and
yeah,
different solutions.
I'm right and he's wrong. Let's put it right there.
And that's exactly how I feel. So I think, look, you look back at history, we make changes in this country. We make them slowly. Sometimes there's gridlock as there is now and so forth. But there are all kinds of changes that can be made. Even Larry, however, doesn't think that you're not going to, you in your 30s, Jeremy, are not going to get Social Security.
You think, Larry, that I will get my Social Security? I will get something?
I think you'll get something, hopefully from a new system that's actually solvent. But the problem is that the longer we wait, the more we let people—
Will he get something? He's asking you a specific question, a direct question.
He'll get something. The question is whether he'll get extra taxes, too, that make that something that he gets on net a negative thing.
A negative thing? You think it would be negative? He'll have to pay more for Social Security than he'll get back in
Social Security? I think when you have a system that's 33% underfinanced, somebody has to pay for it. Zero-sum game.
And I think it's absolute nonsense to think that you'll get— substantially less than people now will be getting. Right now, for example, there's a ceiling on the taxable income for Social Security. But of course, with the inequality of income, more people are earning over that ceiling. They're not being taxed. Personally, I think that's ridiculous.
Do you think that will change? There'll be some sort of a means testing that will cause people that are making more money to pay more into the system?
Absolutely. And by the way, that change alone, according to Social Security, would close 33% of the gap Larry is talking about.
Well, we'll have to look at those numbers together, Paul. But my sense is that from looking at the trustees report is that the system is in terrible shape. 33% under finance means that you need to have a 33% increase in the tax path forever, starting immediately to cover this thing. So we're talking about a huge problem with Social Security that has to be addressed immediately, you know, 20 years ago, really, not tomorrow, not in 10 years. What Paul's suggesting is one of many important changes that should be considered. But the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be for your generation, Jeremy.
The thing that a lot of people come up with is, why don't you just raise the age? People are living longer. Mm-hmm. Make them wait until they're 75 or even older to get their Social Security benefits. Is that realistic? And how much would that help?
Well, raising the age of full retirement really constitutes just cutting benefits because when you can still, under that higher age of full retirement, still take your early benefit at 62, you'll just end up with less money. So it really just constitutes a benefit cut. So we should be quite clear that we can hurt your generation in a lot of different ways. We can do it by bits and pieces. But when you have a 33% underfinanced system, there's a big trouble here. And what we need to do is get the older generations on board, my generation and Paul's generation on board, to admit that there's a huge problem and to address it right now in terms of our paying higher taxes, because otherwise we're going to get off the hook. We're going to get to spend more. Paul's going to be able to keep taking me to Clio.
And I say this as somebody in my 30s. Again, I don't think that it would make sense to have people who are already in retirement or right next to retirement make huge sacrifices because they haven't planned for it. There's nothing they can do. It's not like they're going to be able to go back and work.
Well, there's Warren Buffett. I think he could pay a little bit more. He's older.
And that's the notion of means testing. There's no question that if you treat everybody equally here, it's very hard to figure out how not to treat everybody equally. What about the people who are still working in steel mills?
Right.
And you say to them, you have to work until 70 or 72, or they're burned out at 60 because of the nature of the work. It's one thing to ask a guy who works for PBS, hey, you know, work.
Do some more stories, Paul.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, Larry, stick around at Boston University. I mean, what big deal? But for people who have manual jobs at Jiffy Lube, for goodness sake, I mean, to say to them, hey, wait a second, you can't retire until you're 70, that's a big deal. And these are very tricky negotiations. Yeah. How do you figure this stuff out? On the other hand, I don't disagree with Larry that something has to be done. I'm just much more optimistic than he is that something will be done, and it'll be a portfolio of
changes.
There'll
be a lot of changes that will shore this system up in a lot of ways. Although, when you look at Washington right now, can you really see both Republicans and Democrats getting on the same page on something like this?
Not next week. not right away.
I was just down testifying to the Senate Budget Committee last week about these very issues, and the amount of partisanship is just amazing. These people just go after each other left, right, and center. There's no real—
There is no center. It's left and right. They go after each other.
What we need is adults running the country. And the first thing an adult has to do is take care of his kids. And we have people that are running the country that aren't adults.
Yeah, I just don't find that maybe true. It is true, but it's not that helpful, and certainly not that helpful to somebody like yourself in your 30s trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future. So, look, it's a bet that, as in the past, so in the future, we will, as a democracy, slowly make the kinds of changes we need because we're a resilient system. But what those changes are going to be and when those changes are going to happen, goodness knows.
Larry, what would you say would be the fix?
So I have a plan to freeze the current system in place, pay off through time all the benefits that have been accrued. So, Jeremy, the benefits you've really have right to under the existing system, you'd get paid in retirement. But then we would take each worker and take 8% of their pay, divide it 50-50 between spouses, put it each into an individual account, a personal account, have a computer, not Wall Street, invested in a global market-weighted index of stocks, bonds, and real estate. And then at retirement age, that same computer would slowly sell off your account balance. And you and everybody else in your age group, it would hand back your account balances in the form of inflation-protected pensions. So all this could be done at zero cost to the public. It can be a fully funded, rational system. And then we're going to need to have a tax reform to pay for the existing system, pay off those existing benefits.
Some people are going to hear that and say, wait, are you talking about privatizing Social Security?
I call this personalizing. Privatizing really is about letting Wall Street rip people off.
But you're talking about investing in stocks.
Well, I'm talking about having a computer invest in all the securities that are in the marketplace in the world, the major markets in the world. I'm also in this plan proposing a zero real return guarantee. So the government would ensure that you get back in old age at least what you put in adjusted for inflation so that you never actually lose anything in terms of getting a negative return. And because everybody's in the same investment pool, everybody gets the same rate of return. It's not like I end up with a better retirement because my broker, right, I had the right cousin or whatever, and you didn't. New Zealand is an excellent democracy. They've got a retirement system works with one rule. You hit 65, you get a check. It's the same check for everybody. I don't think that's what we need to have here. And my personal security system has progressive matching of contributions by the government. So it's progressive. It takes care of non-working spouses.
But does it have the Paul Solomon seal of approval?
No,
he loves it. He loves it. Come on, Paul. You love it.
No, for the simple reason that I think it's almost inconceivable that we're going to do an overhaul where we're going to literally remake the system. And that's why I say what needs to happen is small reforms, a portfolio of reforms, and that's what's likely to happen.
Paul Solomon, PBS NewsHour business and economics correspondent, and Lawrence Kotlikoff, Boston University economics professor, talking with us about their book called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. They spoke with us in March of this year. After our conversation, Congress did make a change to spousal benefits, ending what's called file and suspend, where a primary wage earner can file for benefits but delay receiving them so that a spouse can collect during that delay. That ending of file and suspend takes effect this coming spring.